Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. This is episode 7, the Bills and Cardinals postgame and the Bills and Dolphins pregame on a short week. It is Monday, September 9th, and the NFL season has officially kicked off for all but two teams we're going to play tonight, and that is the Jets and the 49ers. Dan, how are you feeling, my friend?
Recovering, as I feel after most Bills games. Yesterday, JJ, was an absolute roller coaster. That roller coaster ride we were on was the JA17 MVP train that is starting very, very early. Those calls for Josh Allen to basically put this team on his back and will them to a playoff appearance this year. And we saw a glimpse of what that is going to look like this season. And JJ, I know we've had the back and forth and the conversation about the wear and tear of Josh's play style that ultimately takes on his body, but this feels like a season where Josh is not ready to hear that. This is a season where he is going to lead not only in the locker room with the example that he sets and his vocality now that we've heard from a lot of these players say he's expressing himself more in that way in the locker room, but also JJ, he is leading with the style of play that he wants to see others on this squad emulate. That is a physical backyard ball type of style. JJ yesterday was equal parts entertaining, magnetic, and worrisome for a lot of reasons, which I think perfectly encapsulates where the Bills fan base is here heading into the Miami game on a short week.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dan. I think that Josh Allen's durability has been one of his best abilities, and it seems as if he's bound and determined to literally play through anything. We've seen him spend multiple weeks of a season with his throwing shoulder not quite right, his throwing elbow not quite right, and just still operating. Like, he goes out there no matter what. And so I agree with you. It seems as if he's, you know, it's literally caution to the wind. I will play how I will play, because it's, you know, come hell or high water, we're taking this team all the way. I love that. And I was actually incredibly buoyed for my hopes this season with a Josh Allen performance that included one complete, you know, idiotic sugar high Josh moment with the fumble that he lost. And the rest of the time, he was poised and competitive and exactly the kind of player that, you know, people tune in for, because he literally took the game over at the end of the first half. Let's talk a little bit about the offensive performance. I think that, you know, the thing I wrote in our kind of show notes as I was getting my thoughts out today was Josh Allen is going to Josh Allen, but if he Josh Allens and doesn't Josh Allen, we're good. And I think that that's what we saw. We just saw a little bit of the secondary Josh Allen and a lot more Josh Allen. It was quite awesome. He targeted 10 players and had nine of them had at least one reception, which is a stat I know you like to pull often with the Bills' incredible win rate when Josh Allen in his career, when he's targeted seven or more people. And so he was well above that. And again, the result on the field was good.
It was good. It didn't just lead to a WJJ. It led to, I think, some stuff that we've wanted to see Josh do for a while. And I think a lot of it is going to be covered up by the fact that he played so physical yesterday. He ran the ball so much. The red zone offense yesterday, JJ, was in fact Josh Allen. But that masks, I think, a lot of stuff that Josh has did in this game that we've wanted to see him do for a while. The stat I was most excited to see released this morning when I got up, and yes, I get excited for the release of the stat packages on NFL Next Gen Stats. JJ, it was Josh's time to throw. 2.65 seconds.
That's his fastest. Yes,
exactly.
Fastest of all time.
Well, not of all time.
In his career.
Right. So it's, he's had a couple of games where he's in the Dorsey era where he was like right around 2.5. But he averaged last year, time to throw, JJ, 2.8 seconds. That difference of those 0.2 seconds means a lot when you're bearing down a pass rush, when your guys are trying to hit their routes with timing. He was more trustworthy of this wide receiver core and to throw into tight windows, JJ, than we have seen him in a while. He was getting the ball out of his hands quickly when he wasn't choosing to keeping it. And JJ, he was accurate, and he was accurate to all levels of the field. He finished with a 78% completion rating, a passer rating of 137.7. And JJ, this includes a couple of deep shots, a couple that connected, most notably to Keon Coleman, a couple that missed. I'm sure he'd love to have that one to MVS back early in the third quarter. But for the most part, JJ, Josh was dominant passing the ball at all levels of the field.
I think that I'm trying to tamp down a little bit because the Cardinals defense is pretty woefully terrible. And so as we're sitting here on Monday, the Bills made it look easy to come back from a 17-3 deficit and really turn the game around. But the Cardinals defense was suspect coming in. They remained suspect throughout. And as soon as the Bills had a chance to kind of stifle some of the momentum that the Cardinals had on offense, playing ball control and kind of keeping the ball out of Josh Allen's hands and get some possessions back for that offense, the whole thing kind of turned on its head. And as we expected, Josh Allen was able to throw on that defense, and they were able to run on that defense. And that's both exciting things. I think that one thing I really appreciated was the running game kind of picking up where it left off last season with James Cook kind of being a workhorse, 20 plus touches, over 100 yards, if you count receiving yards in addition to his rushing yards. And he really is keeping Ty Johnson and Ray Davis off the field by his performance. And one thing that I think that, you know, it's funny, if you listen to like WGR or Buffalo Radio or even some of the media members who are on the Buffalo beat, they'll talk about how, you know, the Bills offense is too predictable. On first and 10, they always run. Well, if you get six or seven yards per carry on those first and 10 rushes, it's really not a problem to run every first and 10. If you're consistently able to produce and stay ahead of the sticks. And on top of that, if you do that and you become, you know, quote unquote, super predictable, then when you do a play action seam ball to Dalton Kincaid down the middle of the field, it's going to be way more effective. It's going to suck up way more attention than if you throw that pass 50% of the time on first down.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the defense, you mentioned how putrid the Arizona defense is, and we said it on the pregame. This has the potential to be one of the worst defenses in the league this year. They just don't have the personnel to do what Gannon wants to do. But it was really interesting how much they're trying to cover up for themselves in coverage against an unknown, as far as efficacy went, wide receiver room. I mean, listen, the book on Josh is that you don't blitz Josh, but we saw timely blitzing last year really throw him off for long stretches at a time, though the cumulative stats at the end of the year and the aggregate stats looked good for Josh against the blitz. But JJ, the Cardinals didn't come after him hardly at all. They only chose to bring an extra pass rusher on six of his dropbacks. A lot of that is because of the threat that Josh is to run. They were worried he was going to bust the pocket on those. But JJ, Josh, again, just did such a good job of taking what the defense was giving him. 14 of 17 when he wasn't blitzed and when the Cardinals were playing in that cover two shell that we see so many teams deploy against these Bills. He was able to pick it apart and then, I think, judiciously and maturely take his shots downfield. And those are two things that I think carry over against any defense because they are factors that are within Josh's control in his game that we haven't seen him fully develop. But the patience, standing back in the pocket, making quick decisions, taking his shots when he knew he had a chance of success, and not just throwing it because, well, Gabe Davis is down there somewhere.
Yeah, I think the difference between the Cardinals defense and the Miami defense is that the Miami defense does have, I mean, even with the departure of Wilkins, they've got players on that front, and especially in the linebacker core, who are above average NFL caliber starters. And I think that for the Cardinals, they have probably average to replacement level front seven players, if you count their defensive line and then their linebackers, especially with the injuries they've suffered early in the season. Whereas the Dolphins, even without Bradley Chubb, and even with Jalen Phillips probably not 100% coming off of his Achilles, they still have a relatively complete defensive front. And so the Bills are going to have a harder time running on the Dolphins. And in the back end, the Dolphins bring back some of their talented defensive backs. And they have the, Jalen Ram. No, who's the, is it Ramsey?
Yeah, the cornerback.
Jalen Ramsey? Why does that not?
Javon Holland in the
Javon Holland's a dog, but like I love. Yeah, that I don't know why Jalen Ramsey's name sounded funny to me. So they've got the defensive backfield they have is solid, but they haven't really improved it that much from last year, and they can be vulnerable on the outside the numbers as we saw in the Bills' first game, against the Dolphins coming off of that 70-point. Win over the Broncos when everyone expected it to be this massive shootout. And then the Dolphins didn't do so hot and the Bills basically did whatever they wanted that day. It's going to be interesting because it's a better defense. I think it's a solid defense, but it's their third defensive coordinator in 3 years. There's a lot of question marks onto what they can present. The Jaguars on offense were kind of a mess and the Dolphins gave up a lot of rushing yards to Travis Etienne, even though they were able to kind of tighten down in the red zone on a lot of those drives. So I'm really curious to see against a better red zone offense than the Bills, if the Dolphins defense is legit.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see on the flip side of that, as we wrap up the Cardinals post game here, what the Bills defense is going to look like against an offense that I would say in Miami is far more layered and professionalized at this point in its development than the Cardinals was. I mean, JJ, the Cardinals did exactly what we said they were going to do in the pregame. They ran the ball relentlessly. Kyler Murray, when he broke contain and zoomed out of the pocket, was an absolute problem for us, and we knew he was going to be. But there are some other things that we knew about Kyler Murray, too, that came to fruition as well. His average yards per attempt in this game, 5.2 yards, and he was 1 of 5 on passes beyond the sticks, 10 yards or above. We called him a check down Charlie in the pregame. He proved it to be so, especially in those windy conditions and some of the uncertainty in his wide receiver core. I mean, dude, Marvin Harrison was targeted, what, 4 times in that game? Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah.
Wild. Dude, he was running free a lot of times over our safeties.
Yeah. I blame Kyler Murray for a lot of that. I think that
his height.
Yeah. if Josh Allen, if the quarterbacks were swapped in that game, Marvin Harrison would have had like 100+ yards on 6 or 7 catches, you know, and probably a tutty or two.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he did have that one drop, but listen, man, Ja'Marr Chase dropped his first pass catch of his career too, and we've seen how he's turned out pretty good, though he is still waiting for that contract from Cincinnati. But this Cardinals offense was as advertised, and the Bills, after some nice second half adjustments, stopped dropping Greg Rousseau into coverage, which they did on my rewatch of the game 4 times in the first half. Your best pass rusher, your best run defender, dropping him into coverage. I think Babbage was getting a little bit too cute with some of this, with what he was trying to scheme up against Murray. And they just got back to basics in the second half and some aggressive play calling, too. They were able to get organic pressure, but they weren't afraid to drop the blitz when they needed to in certain situations against Murray. And contrary to how he has played in his career against the blitz, Murray really did struggle against it. So nice adjustments in the second half by the defense. But JJ, we can't move on to this Miami Dolphins preview without talking about the loss, albeit for an unknown length of time at this point, of Taron Johnson. As we speak today on this podcast, he has already been ruled out of the game against Miami. He left after about 9 plays against Arizona, and we saw the chaotic disorganization of this defense as everyone was trying to figure out how they were going to pick up the pieces in the first half after Johnson was ruled out. Again, did a great job in the second half, but now we roll into Miami with, I would say, questionable safety play against a squad that is going to exploit the deep areas of the field way better than Kyler Murray and the Cardinals did, and also with our signature nickelback not being able to go on Thursday. Enter the Cam Lewis experience. So, JJ, what are some of the things you saw from this Bills defense against the Cardinals, and how do we think it is going to translate against a much tougher offense in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, everybody should be worried about, you know, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, Devon Achan, and Raheem Mostert against this Bills defense, because I think that the defense got younger. It didn't necessarily get markedly quicker. I think that Terrell Bernard is athletic. I think Dorian Williams is athletic. But Cam Lewis is not a burner. Ingram is not a burner. So some of the replacement players that they put in to mask Taron Johnson's loss are not fast enough to keep up in one-on-one coverage with either of the two, you know, top outside players, and definitely not anybody that's coming out of the backfield. And so I think those are challenges. That's definitely Bobby Babbage has his work cut out for him this week. It's a known opponent, so you have some of that work is already done. They haven't changed coordinators on offense. They have the same quarterback. They have the same key skill players. So in a lot of ways, you're just refreshing a game plan, and then, you know, adding twists and wrinkles so that it's not, you know, it doesn't look like a previously used game plan, because the opponent will figure that out pretty quickly and kill you. But I think that, you know, if you look back to the Cardinals game, with the defense, it was, you know, Taron Johnson went out at like you had mentioned, nine plays in. The Cardinals scored two touchdowns very shortly after he went down. But then the Bills adjustments resulted in the Cardinals not scoring another offensive touchdown the rest of the game. You know, for like 2.5 quarters, they were pretty much shut down on offense, or at least stuffed in the red zone if they got down there. And that, I think, showed the adjustment they made. And I think that the adjustment was Cam Lewis, who basically proved that he is not only the backup to the safety or a possible starting safety, he is a kind of a do everything DB. He is, you know, the Swiss Army knife back there, because he was practicing in the safety room while they were, you know, in the preseason with all those injuries. But then the moment Taron Johnson goes down, he steps up to that nickel starting position. And then they start doing some things where they were able to rotate, you know, three linebackers in on early downs, and then, you know, use Dorian Williams, use Terrell Bernard, use a third linebacker, and then move to three safeties on long and late downs. And the person who came in for that third safety position was actually Jamarcus Ingram, who's mostly filled in at outside corner in his career. So, you know, many players playing sort of out of their predominant position, but they've really made it work. I think Cam Lewis was the second best player on the field in this game. And it wasn't close. He was flying all over the ball. It took him probably a quarter to get his feet under him, but after that, he was the most impactful defender besides Greg Rousseau.
Yeah, and I don't want to close the book on this Bills defensive effort, as problematic as it was, without talking about Rousseau. I think it's hard to argue this point now with Johnson being out and Milano being out, and all due respect to Terrell Bernard, but without the elder statesmen Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde on the squad, and with the injuries the defense has suffered, this is Greg Rousseau's defense. Even, I think, above and beyond over Ed Oliver, and I respect Terrell Bernard being named captain, but this is Rousseau's defense. That defensive line, JJ, right now is the healthiest and arguably strongest unit on this defensive squad, and they are going to need to set the tone game in and game out as the secondary figures out who's going to play where, what everyone's role is going to be, what their scheme fit is going to be over the next few weeks.
I'm a huge nerd for line play. I haven't seen him employ the kind of speed to power or bull rush or single arm stab moves that he used consistently in this game, but once or twice a season, and I saw them all game long. And so I also rewatched, and it was kind of amazing in the way that he, the left tackle for the Cardinals, who's one of their best and brightest young offensive linemen, stands 6'6", 310 pounds. And Paris Campbell Jr., I believe. And on the one sack that Rousseau had coming off of the right defensive edge, he one-arm stabbed that guy and pushed him back like 4 feet, like just completely erased his anchor, which you don't usually see with a starting caliber left tackle. And then just was already there. It was impossible to you know, do anything at that point in the rep for the sack. The play was over. I was astounded at the kinds of things he was doing. And it reminded me of some of the preseason comments from the other defensive linemen that Groot finally understands how big and powerful he is. And he's not afraid to use it without hesitation. And so that was outstanding. I mentioned Cam Lewis. I mentioned Jamarcus Ingram really stepping up. I do have, you know, a couple of down notes from this game against the Cardinals. I think that, you know, Dorian Williams really struggled being a QB spy against Kyler Murray. They assigned him that position, especially on early downs, and he often was late to react and then took a bad angle. And so a lot of the scrambles were kind of fall at his feet that were successful. And then the other down note is Taylor Rapp is the person who hurt Taron Johnson. It wasn't Taron Johnson tackling somebody. It was Taylor Rapp coming in after Taron Johnson had already started to make a tackle on the slot receiver and whacking his forearm with his helmet. And this is something we've talked about on the pod. I know a lot of people have noticed it. Taylor Rapp is responsible for another play where he injures a teammate with this game yesterday. And he has four such plays in one fully season and one game on the Bills, which is really a problem. Like, I don't know what you do to address that, because of course it's his aggressive play style that results in it. But he also almost cleaned Christian Benford's clock on a pass to McBride on the Cardinals' second touchdown drive. Like, he came flying in and didn't need that aggression on that play, because Christian Benford was already there and secure on the tackle. And it was worrying. Like, his aiming and target points is really a problem.
Well, he was out of position on more than a couple of plays too. I mean, listen, Taylor Rapp has never been known as a technician. He is more of a blunt force instrument in a lot of the defenses that he's played on. I mean, you could argue that he is playing because of where the safety room is at for Buffalo. He's also playing somewhat out of position, particularly for what the scheme is asking him to do. And I echo your points on Dorian Williams. I mean, listen, man, Kyler Murray was targeting Williams on all of those dinks and dunks across the middle of the field. And you've got to believe that whenever he is on the field in non-obvious passing downs against Miami, Tua is going to do the same thing. The middle of the field will be wide open as long as Williams is on the field. And the Bills went back to that dime look, like we talked about, try to cover up for that in obvious passing downs. But with how depleted the safety room is and this DB room is getting without Taron Johnson, they are very quickly trying to find answers that they may not currently have on the roster for some of these scheme issues that they need to address too, JJ. Listen, one other player I want to end this on a positive note, because this is Victory Monday. One other player I want to mention is Keon Coleman. Debut, was not a separation guy, averaged on his targets an average separation of 2.4 yards of separation. The league average week one was 2.6 yards. And by the end of last season, 2023, that league average, JJ, was 3.3 yards. Half a yard means something in this league. That's the difference between a DB reaching into your grasp and knocking the ball away versus not. But Keon, dominant at the point of catch, man. Dominant at the point of catch, as advertised. And I love that after that long ball that he caught from Allen in the second half, they went right to him in the red zone to try to get him a tutty. Yeah. I thought it was great. Reward the kid for a job well done. But Keon, I'm excited to see his development, man. I think it's going to be really good. And what it's going to mean for this wide receiver room. I think it's obvious that Brady is still figuring some stuff out. Khalil Shakir played almost less than half of the snaps yesterday against Arizona. It was right around like 53%. He is a playmaker and the only guy that seems to be able to get yards after the catch other than Kincaid, who also had some questionable usage in the first half that they thankfully corrected in the second half. Brady is figuring some stuff out in this pass catcher room. I would like to see them not go crazy with it, especially when they're out there in 12 personnel, but more importantly, when they're in 11 personnel, which is when they started to get some things going yesterday. You've got to have Kincaid is your tight end one. And then Khalil Shakir has to get more snap share than Mac Collins. Love Mac Collins, love his leadership. Khalil Shakir is your playmaker in that wide receiver room, pending the development of Keon Coleman, who had a great week one for me.
He had a great week one. It was funny because the we were watching with friends, and when they threw straight back at him in the red zone after his big catch, the people George and Kevin were watching with were like, why do they go right back? You know, like, I was like, well, because he didn't get called for a very obvious push off on the previous play. So they figure if the refs aren't going to call it, they'll just keep feeding him because he's big and strong enough to do that all day. Doesn't matter if somebody's covering him, if he can just push them away and then catch the ball. And so, yeah, I'm curious to see how that develops in his game too, because he's going to need to find some tools and some savvy route techniques to get separation at this level, or he's just going to have to always be a high point specialist, which is possible. I mean, there's people who've made good money in the league doing just that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to see him develop into what Mike Evans has become. I think that is the potential ceiling for Coleman. And listen, we don't want to overrate week one. We don't want to read too much into it. It's essentially an extension of the preseason for a lot of teams. And I think based on some of the uncertainty we saw with personnel packages on offense yesterday in the first half versus the second half, I think you could say the same thing for the Bills as they're figuring stuff out. But JJ, they ultimately figured out a win. They now head into a pivotal matchup early on in the season against a divisional opponent in the Miami Dolphins, an opponent that they've had a lot of success under Sean McDermott and with Josh Allen. Everybody has seen the Josh Allen is your daddy memes when it comes to the Miami Dolphins, but Josh is only going to be on the field for half of this game. The other half of the game, the defense is going to be on the field against a very potent Miami attack. So JJ, where do you want to start with this game preview? Do you want to start with the Dolphins O against the Bills D, or vice versa and flip it?
Let's keep going with the kind of, we ended with the Bills defense and its efforts against the Cardinals. So yeah, let's end there, or let's start there with the Dolphins preview. I think that, you know, for me, it's a question of what can Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford do to limit Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. That's step one, because I think that anyone who's watched the Bills or listened to our podcast knows the whole key to stopping this wildly effective Miami passing attack is just making sure that the first read that Tua wants to go to is not available the moment he wants to go to it, which is exactly 2.5 seconds or less off the snap. And so if they can muddy that kind of short slant area of the field long enough to let the pass rush get some pressure, or to at least let, you know, the play develop a little bit where Tua has to look to some other reads, they're going to do a nice job. The thing I worry about most that you've already pointed out, though, when we were talking about the previous game, is Dorian Williams, his area of responsibility in zone coverage is that slant zone area right behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, JJ, and it's not just the wide receivers you've got to worry about running that slant. Devon Achane, who did not have a great day running the ball yesterday, did show a little bit of juice in the pass-catching game. And the Dolphins have been clear in the preseason they want to use their running backs more out of the backfield, catching passes to add some wrinkles and some layers to this very potent Miami offensive attack. And I worry about Williams being susceptible to a play-action leak where Achane just leaks into the middle of the field. He's got 3-4 yards of separation around him, and that dude plants and goes. And he is all speed. He could easily take a 5-yard dump off and turn it into a 40-yard gain. I don't have any good solutions for the Bills, because again, the well they would normally go to would be pulling in a third safety. But given the health of that safety room right now to cover up in some of those obvious passing situations, you've got to trust that Williams is going to, at some point, get it. Now, for those Bills fans that were hoping he was going to have a Terrell Bernard-like emergence this season, we all need to remember that Bernard really didn't show his chops and have his coming out party till week 4 last year against the Miami Dolphins. So if anything remains consistent in the historic development of these Buffalo Bills linebackers, maybe Williams on a short week where he can flush the Sunday game against the Cardinals very quickly, maybe he comes out rejuvenated and a new guy and is focused on the game plan and really at addressing the obvious weaknesses of his game. But beyond that, I don't know that the Bills have great personnel answers for the scheme that they're going to need to run in order to stop some of this quick Miami Dolphins passing game. Now, JJ, an area where I think they might have some success is stopping the Miami Dolphins run game. Williams is an excellent run defender. Add to that one of the best edge defenders against the run in Greg Rousseau. And the susceptibility that they had to the type of run scheme that the Cardinals were running is going to be a little bit different, I think, against these Miami Dolphins. This Miami Dolphins offensive line, JJ, went through a ton of turnover last season. And this is a fairly complex motion-based run scheme that Miami is putting out there, game in and game out. I think two things are true about this Miami Dolphins offensive line. They're not very talented, and they're definitely a downgrade from last season's ultimately putrid offensive line. That's saying something. But I think two is I think they're still trying to get their hooks into what this scheme is all about. And you saw it yesterday. The Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, it's surprising. They're a top 10 defense in 2023 by a lot of metrics, but it's a team that you could run on. They were about hovered right around the league average as far as efficiency metrics went. Dude, they shut down this Miami run game yesterday. They only allowed 69 total yards on 23 rush attempts to this Miami Dolphins running back room. When you take into account all that speed that they have, the Jaguars figured out something in a hole in this Miami Dolphins offensive line that they could exploit. And I believe if it comes to winning the battle up front in the run game, I think we could see the Bills have a little bit more success in stopping the run against Miami than they did against Arizona.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just looking at the offensive line, that they did not measurably improve their offensive line. In fact, losing Robert Hunt to free agency and passing on re-signing their center, I think those two pieces, they took a step back in both those two positions. And then Liam Eichenberg is a little bit banged up, so he may not start as one of, and he's their right guard currently. Teron Armstead, who we all know hasn't had a, has been an excellent talent, but hasn't had a healthy season in the past 4 years, is a question. I think that, I mean, he's healthy right now, but we'll see. So yeah, I think that it's a possibility the Bills have a chance to shut down the run. I think especially in the second half against the Cardinals, the Bills really showed a much better understanding of the run fits and, you know, how to flow to the ball. In particular, I think that that was largely, you know, due to the expert, you know, expertise of Cam Lewis, because he, I think early after Teron Johnson went out, Cam Lewis was struggling a little bit. Once it clicked for him, the run game was no longer, you know, James Conner was no longer going anywhere. And so I think there's possibilities that, especially if they roll out the same lineup and assignments this week against the Dolphins, that he'll start on a much hotter note in terms of finding his landmarks and making sure that he's turning things inside where he's supposed to and shooting gaps where he's supposed to, which was really what I saw in the second half that made me notice him a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, this is an opponent. Listen, we know we've done a ton of Dolphins pregames on this podcast over the last few years. There's not much left to say that we haven't already said. This is a Miami Dolphins offense that's going to run motion. They ran motion on 90% of their snaps yesterday, which is the fourth highest motion rate that they have run under Mike McDaniel. They want to use Devon Achane in the pass game as much as the run game. Dude had 76 yards receiving and caught all seven targets that they sent his way yesterday. That is a wrinkle that scares me more, I would argue, than Tyreek Hill. Because at this point, you know, Tyreek can score from 80 yards from anywhere on the field, right? Like, it's just one of those things. He's going to get one. And as a Bills fan, I've learned to accept that. He's just going to get one, right? But Achane, especially what we saw from this Bills defense yesterday and their inability to get off the field on third down, that scares me heading into Thursday more than anything else. And listen, you got to close down those anticipatory windows with Tua. The magic number, I think the number that dominates probably every single defensive coordinator's game planning when they play Miami is 2.5 seconds. Can you get Tua to hang on to the ball for longer than 2.5 seconds? Last season, his time to throw, 2.36 seconds, a two-tenths of a second better than the next person. So they are trying to cover up for this offensive line, but speed and quick reads are built into this. Can you get him to hang onto the ball and close down some of those initial windows? And that, to me, JJ, is where Achane becomes a really interesting weapon for them. And I've criticized Mike McDaniel for not making a ton of adjustments with this offense over the past couple of seasons. Like, when you see it get shut down, he just rolls the same thing out there. Achane as a pass catcher really does change the calculus you need to do when you come and play this Miami Dolphins team now. So credit to the way they're scheming up Achane as a complete running back weapon here. That's the piece I'm going to keep an eye on Thursday the most.
And that I think is valid. And I think Achane is such a weapon. I will say I do like the Bills. I like the Bills' defensive backs for shutting down running back wide, you know, screens and kind of toss outs and those sorts of things, because they do have a good sense. Since they play so much zone, they usually have their eyes in the backfield. And we saw James Conner and a couple other targets, you know, in like wide receiver tunnel screen situations against the Cardinals. We saw the Bills able to click and close really well, specifically Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis on a couple of plays. Even Taylor Rapp had one good rep where he like read it, got there and held them to a 2 or 3 yard gain. And so I think that that's an opportunity for the Bills that, I don't know, you know, I haven't watched enough of the Jacksonville Jaguars to have a sense of how good they are at that. I think it's a thing that the Bills are very good at. The thing the Bills are not very good at is traditional screens with linemen on the move and, you know, the defensive line pushing too far into the backfield and getting too hungry with the rush. That, I think, is a real chance. I mean, remember that all the Chan Gailey offenses against the Bills and the constant screen game? It was
It was an
Achilles heel, and it remains to be so even in this iteration with the coaches and players we have now. The traditional screen game is a real problem. But I don't see those kind of on an island screens or quick throwouts as much of a risk as they would be for a lot of other NFL teams who play more man, who are caught with their backs to that play.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting to see. And then again, I'm not expecting 3 sacks every game from Greg Rousseau, but we had a Von Miller sighting yesterday as well. So are they going to be able to not only close down those throwing lanes for Tua, but are they actually going to be able to get home? The Jaguars did yesterday. They sacked Tua 3 times, despite only recording a pressure rate of about 17%. Dude, these numbers are ridiculous. Whenever I look at Miami's stat line, it's unbelievable how quick they get the ball out. But like it's becoming an offense of binaries for me. They're either getting the ball out super quick, or Tua can't find anywhere to throw and he's taking a sack or he's getting pressure. It's just wild to me. This offense is crazy. Oh my God. I can't wait to watch film. I can't wait to watch the film of the Jags game. It's nuts. But again, the defensive line is going to be important in setting the tone, not just against the run, but also getting home on Tua, getting him on the ground. I think means more than just putting pressure on him because of how quickly he gets out the ball. So yeah, we'll see. Anything else as we wrap up here on this side of the ball? Are you ready to flip it over to the Bills offense?
No, I think that's all we have to say about that. Let's talk Josh Allen and his army against this Dolphins defense. Where do you want to start? Which unit?
I think it's got to start. I think we got to start with the Bills, and in particular, I want to start with the pass catchers because it's going to matter. This game, JJ, listen, the Bills, it feels like they're just going to have to win a bunch of shootouts this season until they can figure out some things on defense. My larger fear is that they don't figure out anything on defense, and this year is going to look a lot like what we saw on Sunday, which was 34-28. So if they're going to win, they're going to absolutely need to run the ball, control the clock, keep Tua and this very potent offense off the field, which they've had a lot of success doing. And this is not a good Miami Dolphins defensive line. They've finished middle middle of the pack in most efficiency stats last year and were very susceptible to the run. And they have downgraded. Thank God Christian Wilkins has moved on. Have fun in Las Vegas, my friend. We do not miss you. Andrew Van Ginkle has moved on. This is a patchwork unit of a lot of low-cost veterans that have some great resumes, but you could argue are kind of over maybe their peak playing days. The Bills need to come out, control time of possession, and then I want to see what these pass catchers can do when they are called upon. Again, didn't love the snap share of some of the personnel groupings in the first half. I want to see more Kincaid in this game, man. The Dolphins have traditionally struggled and been in the lower tier of teams when defending opposing teams' tight ends. We've got two really good ones. I want to see Dalton Kincaid eat this game. I'm losing patience with how they're scheming him up, how they're putting him out there, giving him basically one half of real meaningful snaps yesterday. I want to see Kincaid out there for 70% of the snaps, all due respect to Dawson Knox. He should be tight end one in 11 personnel. And when they're in 12, unless Shakir is on the field, he should be their number one go-to option.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that but it does track for me with all the preseason conversations that the Bills offensive players had about, you know, everybody's punching a bus ticket, everybody eats, you know, Josh Allen's the chef, and they're all, you know, just at the restaurant, and it tracks with all of that. But I agree with you. I think Dalton Kincaid, it seems like such a waste to not use somebody so talented at finding soft spots in the zone, someone who's reportedly had an even better rapport with Josh Allen, spending so much time with him in the offseason. But here's my worry, Dan, to your wishes and hopes. It may be the thing that we've talked about or expected in all of our offseason conversations, that like this week against the Cardinals wasn't a Kincaid game. Maybe this week against the Dolphins is a Kincaid game. And then maybe the following week he has two targets, you know, two receptions for 46 yards, while somebody else has, you know, 100 yards, like a Shakir game or a Curtis Samuel game. So they may rotate it in that way, because we know how, you know, diligent Joe Brady is at identifying the target, you know, the weak point in the defense, and attacking it incessantly until they find a way to stop something.
I mean, man, we talked about it in that Cardinals pregame, though. I mean, the Cardinals came in ranked 29th in DVOA when stopping opposing teams' tight ends in the pass game. That's bad. Like, if the Cardinals are not a Dalton Kincaid game, like, what does a Dalton Kincaid game look like to Brady? You know what I mean? But I do think, to our point earlier, they are still trying to figure it out in real game speed. You know what I mean? So, like, what this offense was yesterday is not what it is, what it's going to look like at the end of the season. Because Shakir and Kincaid and Cook are the three best playmakers on that team. And this is a very good, very smart Bills coaching staff. They're eventually going to figure out ways, I think, to game plan those guys in while also keeping opposing defenses off balance with the everybody eats mantra that they've adopted in that pass catching room. I think they're going to have it both ways. And, you know, we've got to remember, too, the learning curve for tight ends in this league is very, very steep. Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown yesterday. Fantasy managers rejoice. But we've waited years for that moment with Kyle Pitts. I don't think it's going to be the same with Kincaid, but I do think a little bit of patience, to your point, is warranted, because a learning curve for young tight ends in this league is so, so steep. And listen, everyone is going to talk about the Keon Coleman versus Xavier Worthy debate. But there is another wide receiver debate that I believe we could start with regard to the Chiefs and the Bills, and that is Sky Moore versus Khalil Shakir. Because those two, I think in the draft year, they both came out in the same year, were the most frequently bundled together. Who would you rather have, Sky Moore or Khalil Shakir? Moore ended up going way, way earlier in the draft than Shakir did. And Shakir took this like really mysterious drop throughout the process. He was predicted very early on to go as high as the late second round, but ultimately was a steal for the Bills where they got him. Listen, the jury is still out on Coleman versus Worthy, but I think definitively the Bills got the better end of the Shakir versus Sky Moore debate.
I would agree with that. And I think that there's even more to see. I mean, he surfed on a defensive lineman's body into the end zone, which is like,
it's crazy.
Pure effort. It was amazing.
Do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like, that's the kind of thing. It's like, you know, just the thought of the level of athleticism these guys have, and then the ability and wherewithal to like think your way through moving yourself toward the goal line in that particular situation, and knowing that you haven't yet touched the ground, and that you can just kind of jam your feet in at the heel and shove yourself toward the goal line and slide over that dude was, it was just impressive. I always want to give a shout out to the big guys, Deion Dawkins on that play that Shakir scored by sliding over the defender into the goal line. Totally pancaked somebody, which I really appreciated too. He just walked up and pushed a linebacker onto his back, with his hands, big manned him.
Unbelievable. Absolutely, yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, and that's something to actually, this is a good segue. This is something I want to see against the Dolphins, because I think the Bills offensive line is superior to the Dolphins defensive line. That should be a matchup that the Bills can win. I want to see them win it. And I don't want to see weird nonsense, concentration penalty, lapses of concentration penalties like they had against the Cardinals, with Spencer Brown, Deion Dawkins, Osiris Torrance, false starts, random, you know, like face masks while on offense, all that stuff. They need to get that cleaned up.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a sloppy game from the offensive line. Stuff that I feel like is more Bills 2 years ago than it was last season, when they had, again, the best offensive line play I've seen them have in the McDermott era. If they can clean that up, and they can stop putting themselves in these atrocious third down positions. JJ, at one point in the game yesterday, they were 3 for 8 in the early minutes of the fourth quarter, 3 for 8 on third down conversions with average yards to go of 10.7 yards.
That's terrible.
I mean, and it's nothing to do with Josh taking sacks. He only got sacked twice in that game. It had everything to do with the silly offensive line penalties that this team was drawing. Got to clean that up. And again, I agree with you. They should dominate against this Miami Dolphins defensive line and that linebacker unit. JJ, before we go to predictions sure to go wrong, which much to our surprise, we were not too wrong this week on the Cardinals game. It would be remiss if we didn't mention that we are about to go through game one of what is going to be many, many games this season, where the Bills are facing former familiar faces in new places. Jordan Poyer. We're going to be going up against Jordan Poyer on Thursday. Longtime Bill, longtime captain of this team. We have said it ad nauseum, owe him everything for helping McDermott set the culture he wanted to with this squad and with this defense. I am going to be rooting for Jordan Poyer 15 games out of the year this season, JJ. This will not be one of them. What are your feelings and what are your thoughts on the Bills going up against a beloved former Bill?
I think that Jordan Poyer, given the way he plays the game with the intensity and how savvy he is, this isn't the same as going against other former players where you could use the familiarity against them. I don't think that that's on the cards. I think that they have to be very careful throwing into Jordan Poyer's coverage, because he's going to have a better sense of how that ball comes off Josh Allen's hand, what it looks like, when to jump, where to be, than anybody else probably, because he saw it in practice every day. He knows the inside and outside of the game plans that the Bills like to use. And he was just with the team, you know, for many years, but then just recently with them last year on a long run. So yeah, I expect him to come out with extra juice as well, because it's always just like more fun to compete against these guys that you know. And so I wish him the best every other game. In this game, I want him to look old and slow and take bad angles and maybe get trucked by Josh Allen in the open field. Just saying.
That's a perfect segue into prediction sure to go wrong, JJ, because I've got Poyer in one of our props for this week. All right, so let's hit it. Let's do a quick recap here. JJ, if you would please run us through our predictions for the Cardinals. How close did we come to being actually right?
This is like uncharted territory for us to get predictions this close. So the
we
final
were
score,
really good.
Yeah, we were really good. The final score of the actual game was 34-28. Of course, Bills win by 6 points. They cover the spread. They matched
no, they
the
didn't.
Spread.
Mi- Yeah. No, they missed it by half a point.
It was six and a half.
Okay. 6.5. Yep.
They missed the spread. They don't miss the spread, but they hit the over on total points, which was set at 47. I had guessed that the Bills would win 34-24. So I had the Bills score right. And you had guessed the Bills would win 31-28. So you had the Cardinals score right.
Unreal.
Uncanny. Yeah.
And then we had two Josh Allen props. Would he throw a pick? We both said he would not.
Yes.
Even though he did have that one fumble. But no picks. Breaks the streak of the past couple of opening weeks. And then we both had the under for Josh throwing 300 yards in opening week. Hasn't done it for a really, really long time. We both took the under because we didn't feel like hopefully the Bills would need it. And if they did need it, something had gone horribly wrong.
Exactly.
And he went, stuff still went horribly wrong, but Josh didn't need to throw the ball that much. So
that's
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, overall good stuff.
We were good. It's almost like we know our stuff. I don't know.
It's crazy. It's like we're getting good at this after all this time. All right. So now that we have thrown flowers at our
properly own feet, fluffed ourselves up for what is inevitably a terrible take in this
because it's a short week. Yeah, and it's going to be so bad. All right, let's do it. Final score predictions, JJ. What do you got?
I think it's another. I think it's another high scoring affair because I think that the Bills defense is still figuring things out, and missing Taron Johnson is going to be a problem. They're also missing Dwayne Smoot, so we're going to see Casey Toole, who's less of an athlete, on the outside. I think that the Bills, I do think the Bills win, but I think it's 35-31 Bills.
Damn, that's a really high score you got going on. As of right now, I'm trying to pull up the spread for this game. You know, JJ, Thursday games are always weird, right? Because it's a short week, not a lot of playing time. Injuries haven't fully healed. You don't get full practice time in. So here's where we're at. Over under for this game, 50 total points. And then the Dolphins are 2.5 point favorites, which is basically standard home field advantage these days in the betting world. So if this was a neutral field, this game would be a coin flip. All right. I'm with you. I think the Bills win, but I think it's a lower scoring affair than a lot of people will believe it to be because I just don't know that this Dolphins running game is right. I don't know this offensive line has figured stuff out. And we all lose sight of the fact of how much this team relies on the run in a Shanahan-style offense. We lose sight of that fact because of all the deep balls they throw. I'm going to say Bills 24. Dolphins 21. And I'm going to take the under in this game because Thursday night games are notorious for hitting the under because of the short turnaround and the short week. So that's where I am at, sir.
All right.
Did you document that?
I did not, but I will make sure to listen to our podcast like everyone else should and get it into our running show notes.
Excellent. All right. Now here's one I got for you. Jordan Poyer, over under, half a sack. On Josh Allen. Yes.
Oh, I could see any defensive coordinator in the world doing a safety blitz.
Yep. And Anthony Weaver plays a little bit more man, comes from that Mike McDonald tree.
I can
see
it.
Right? It's a good one. It's a juicy one.
It is a really good one. So you said plus minus half of a sack.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Half a sack. So will he get a sack or won't he on Josh?
I'm going to take the under. Mm-hmm. And I think that Josh Allen will never let him live it down because I actually think he's going to come on a blitz. I think Josh Allen's going to shake him though.
I think he's going to get there. I think JP is going to get there. I think he wants to get there. I think he is literally watching film right now and he's begging Anthony Weaver to let him come off the edge on a blitz, begging for it. So yeah. So I'm going to take the over and I think Jordan Poyer and what is hopefully his only highlight of the game gets a sack on Josh Allen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a prop for you.
Do it.
Keon Coleman plus or minus half a touchdown. Does he get his touchdown, his first rookie season touchdown in this game?
I don't think so. No. I think when he's in the red zone, I think they're going to stick Ramsey on him. Depending on how healthy Ramsey is and Ramsey is. It, for whatever you want to say about how the dude runs his mouth, like he is a very good man physical corner. He's a really good man corner. And Coleman, despite his athletic gifts, he's just not ready for that. So I'm going to say under, because I just don't think it happens unless it's on a busted coverage or a absolute deep bomb down the field. But Coleman's just not there with a separation or his physicality yet.
I'm saying over. I believe in the rook. Let's do this.
Let's do this thing. All right. I got one more for you. And this is inspired by the Jacksonville Jaguars' relative success here against the Miami Dolphins in the rush game. The Miami Dolphins, JJ, right now are sitting at 100.5 yards on DraftKings for total amount of rush yards expected against the Buffalo Bills on Thursday. JJ, are you taking the over or the under on that line? Do the Bills successfully hold the Miami Dolphins to under 100 rushing yards?
Yes. I think they hold them to under 100 rushing yards because, this is my reasoning, I believe that the Bills have it in their capacity to get up on this team early. And so Tua may throw for like 400 yards, but I think it's because the Bills are going to try to get them off of a paced attack and get a score or two ahead. Because again, I'm the person who's believing this is going to get into the 30s, even with the curse of Thursday night football. And so I think that the Bills get ahead on the scoreboard a little bit and force the Dolphins to try to play with a little bit more urgency, which means more passing.
I'm going to take the under two, but it's not based on anything scheme wise. It's all vibes. I don't like what I saw from this Miami Dolphins rush game that was so potent last year. They were at home in favorable conditions against a very gettable opponent in the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they just couldn't get anything going. And the Bills defensive line, questions overall about how this team is going to defend the run long-term this season. But this just feels like a really good matchup with this Bills defensive line against this revamped Miami Dolphins offensive line. And the vibes just feel weird in this running back room. Yeah. Jeff Wilson Jr. had a sighting yesterday.
He had more touches than either than Mostert. Yeah, he had more touches than Mostert. Mostert was used way less, which is curious to me. And if anyone's like a long-term listener of the pod, you know this well. In the absence of data or analytics, sometimes it's vibes.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of vibes on this podcast, which is why these things always go wrong. But yeah, man, I'm going to take the under two, and I just hope we're right. And I hope we're looking at a Bills win 2-0 to start the season with all this transition.
Extra rest. Yeah.
Yes. A little bit of extra
Johnson
rest.
Back for week three. Yep.
Yes. We could use this, but we'll see. We'll see. All right, JJ. Quick show note here for everybody listening. We have teased the idea of YouTube on this pod a couple of times in the show closing. We want to let everybody know, all of our listeners, give you a heads up that we are going to be rolling out a YouTube channel for Buffalo Bread. We are going to kick things off appropriately with the Kansas City Chiefs return to Buffalo this regular season. So from the Kansas City Chiefs game through the end, we are going to be rolling out this podcast on Spotify, on Apple, but also as a video podcast on YouTube is another way for you to enjoy what me and JJ try to bring to the table every week for you all. So very excited to announce that. I need to lose 30 pounds before we do this, which is really why we're not rolling it out now.
I gotta
get better for the camera.
Yeah, you stole the thunder. I was gonna say I have to lose the 10 pounds that the camera's gonna add. And then everyone's gonna be able to enjoy my like overacting, you know, Jim from The Office responses to your takes throughout the pod.
I think I'm gonna invest in a really good AI filter for myself, right? Yeah. This is what we're gonna do. It's gonna take the weight off for me. Absolutely. All right. So for everybody listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. YouTube a coming, Apple and Spotify, and as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.